All right, so anyone who's into cybersecurity knows about this data breach with Free, France's second largest ISP. We've got a ton of articles and reports here. And yeah, this one's pretty bad. We're going to dig into what exactly happened, what data was exposed and what wasn't, and then what it means for you and for the future of internet security.
The crazy thing is that this breach, it doesn't seem like some random thing. It seems like part of a bigger trend. Sophisticated attacks. Targeting ISPs specifically, not just in France, but globally.
19 million users. That's huge. And then when you think about the personal impact, bank account details were leaked.
So yeah, Free is a major French ISP, 22 million customers, hit by this cyber attack. The weekend of October 26, 2024, the attacker calls themselves Trussell X, got into Free systems, stole data on 19 million subscribers, including international bank account details, for over 5 million users.
Okay, so names and addresses were stolen, obviously not good. But for more than 5 million, their international bank account details were also stolen. That's way worse. But Free says passwords weren't leaked. And bank card details. And emails and voicemails, that's got to be good news, right?
Yeah, that's really important. Give us some clues about what the attacker might be after. Different data is worth more on the black market. Passwords and bank cards, easy to make money from quickly. But personal info and international bank account numbers, that could be part of a longer-term plan. Identity theft, sophisticated phishing, maybe even targeting people for espionage or other bad stuff.
That's kind of scary. So what's Free doing about all of this?
The usual stuff. Notified authorities, filed a criminal complaint. They say they're contacting all the affected customers. Necessary, of course. But it feels reactive. Cleaning up the mess. Instead of preventing it in the first place.
Like fixing a leak after the damage is done? This isn't just a problem for Free, though, is it? ISPs are like the control towers of the internet, right? Managing data flow, keeping everything connected. If they're compromised, it affects way more than just individual accounts.
Exactly. The potential to manipulate traffic online, disrupt services, maybe even do surveillance on a huge scale. That's the real danger. And we're seeing more and more of these APT groups, advanced persistent threat groups, highly organized, often state-sponsored hackers, targeting ISPs all over the world.
So this Free thing, it's not just a one-off. Got any other examples of this threat to ISPs?
Unfortunately, yeah. Take Salt Typhoon. Probably operates out of Russia. They have attacked some U.S.-based ISPs, going after billing info and physical addresses. Not about quick money. More like building detailed profiles on people. Maybe for an intelligence gathering or targeting them later. Then there's Evasive Panda. Suspected ties to the Chinese government. They've used hacked ISP networks to spread malware. Like through fake software updates. So you think you're updating your antivirus. Mm-hmm. But actually, you're installing a backdoor for hackers.
That's terrifying. You're trying to protect yourself. And that's how they get in. So what can we do to protect ourselves as everyday internet users, I mean? With this threat to ISPs growing, it feels overwhelming.
Yeah, I get that. But there are some things you can do, no matter who your ISP is. First, vigilance. Check your bank statements all the time. Look for anything unusual. Be careful with emails you didn't ask for, especially if they say they're from Free or your bank, asking for info or telling you to click links.
Ah, the phishing emails. So many lately. Just the other day I got one. Looked exactly like it was from my bank. Logo, everything. But the wording was weird. Like they were pushing me too hard. Total phishing scam. Trying to get my login info.
Yeah, that's exactly what they do. They make these really convincing fakes to trick us. But even if you click a bad link or give away info, there's still a way to protect yourself.
Two-factor authentication.
Exactly. Two-factor authentication on all your important accounts adds another layer of security. Mm. So even if someone gets your password, they still need that second thing, usually a code sent to your phone or a separate app, to get in. Simple, but it makes a huge difference.
Two-factor authentication, absolutely essential these days. But this whole Free thing feels like a turning point. Things need to change. What does this mean for the future of ISP security, and what needs to happen to stop these attacks?
You're right. This should be a wake-up call for the whole industry. Reacting after a breach isn't enough. ISPs need to be way more proactive about security, like a complete overhaul, starting with investing in serious security infrastructure.
So where do we go from here? What specific changes need to happen to make ISPs more resilient? And what can we as users expect for the future of internet security?
To answer that, we need to get a little more technical. Let's start with zero trust security. Really important concept with all these new threats. We were talking about ISPs needing better security. And zero trust security is a good place to start. It's a big change from how things used to be, assuming everything inside the network is safe.
So instead of just guarding the perimeter, you're basically saying, trust no one, verify everything. Does that make it harder for normal users to get on the network?
Not really. It's more about having multiple security checks.
Yeah.
All over the network. Not just at the entry point. Like, imagine a super secure building. In the old days, you might have one guard at the door checking IDs. But with zero trust, you have checkpoints on every floor, every room, constantly checking who's supposed to be there and what they can access.
Okay, so like multiple security guards throughout the building, always double-checking your credentials. But how do you actually do that online?
That's where things like multi-factor authentication come in.
Mm-hmm.
And continuous monitoring. And strict access controls. Multi-factor authentication, we talked about that earlier, adds that extra verification step, not just a password. Continuous monitoring, that's using software to constantly look for suspicious activity inside the network, looking for patterns that might mean a breach or an attack. And strict access controls, making sure users can only access what they need for their job, nothing more surround.
Sounds much more strict and layered, but wouldn't that cost ISPs a ton of money?
It would, but it's becoming more and more necessary. A data breach costs way more, financially and to their reputation. And it's not just about protecting individual users. We talked about how ISP security affects the whole internet, their critical infrastructure. If they're compromised, it'd have a huge impact on everyone.
Back to those APT groups. You said they're increasingly targeting ISPs. What makes ISPs so valuable to them? What are they trying to get?
Well, ISPs have this unique position. Inside the internet infrastructure, they have access to a ton of data, user traffic, browsing history, even physical location data. This stuff is really valuable to intelligence agencies. They might want to track people or monitor communications. And remember, some APT groups are probably state-sponsored, working for their governments.
It's kind of creepy to think about that someone could be watching what we do online. Even if you're not doing anything wrong, just knowing you're being watched feels wrong.
It is. And it raises some big questions about privacy and security online. But APT groups aren't the only ones after ISPs. Cyber criminals also want to get user data for money, identity theft, or other bad things.
So it's a multifaceted threat. State-sponsored actors, cyber criminal gangs, even individual hackers, all targeting ISPs for different reasons. It's like the Wild West online.
Yeah, in a way it is. That's why ISPs really need to up their security. They need a proactive approach, one that considers the changing threats and their critical role in the whole internet.
We've talked about zero trust, multi-factor authentication, continuous monitoring. Are there any other technologies or strategies ISPs should be using to be more secure?
Definitely. One thing that's becoming really important is encryption. Encryption basically scrambles data, so only someone with the right key can read it. This protects data when it's traveling across the internet. And when it's stored on servers, ISPs should use strong encryption for all sensitive data. Usernames, passwords, browsing history, financial info.
Okay, so encryption's like putting your data in a safe. Only you have the key. But isn't encryption already used everywhere? I thought most websites and stuff already use it.
They do, but how good the encryption is can vary. And there are still weaknesses hackers can exploit. Like, some websites might only use encryption on some pages, like the login page, but not others. Or they might be using outdated encryption. That's easier to crack. ISPs need to make sure they're using the strongest possible encryption and that it's used everywhere on their network.
So it's not just about using encryption. It's about using the right kind and using it right.
Exactly. And it's not a one-time thing. Encryption protocols are always changing. Hackers are always finding new ways to break them. ISPs need to stay ahead of the game, updating their encryption to the most secure options.
It's like an arms race between security professionals and hackers.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's why research and development in cybersecurity is so important. We need new technologies and strategies to stay one step ahead of the bad guys.
So we've got zero trust, encryption, continuous monitoring. Anything else ISPs should focus on to improve their security?
One thing that's often overlooked is incident response. No matter how good your security is, there's always a chance of a breach. ISPs need to have a plan so they can respond quickly and effectively to an attack, minimize the damage, and recover quickly. This means having a dedicated team, clear communication protocols, and regular drills to test their response.
Makes sense, like having a fire escape plan. You hope you never need it, but if there's a fire, you gotta know what to do.
Exactly. And just like a fire drill, incident response drills can find weaknesses in the plan and make sure everyone knows what to do in an emergency.
So we've talked about the technical stuff, the technology and strategies for better ISP security, but what about the human element? We talked about user education earlier, but what should ISPs be doing to teach their customers about online safety?
Good point. ISPs have a great opportunity here. They can reach a huge audience with cybersecurity awareness campaigns. They can use their websites, email newsletters, even social media to tell their customers about common threats, best practices for staying safe online, the importance of strong passwords and two-factor authentication. They can even offer free or discounted security software, like antivirus and anti-malware programs, to help protect their customers' devices.
So it's about empowering users to take responsibility for their own security, not just relying on the ISP, but understanding the risks and doing something about them.
Exactly. It's a shared responsibility. ISPs need to provide the tools and resources, but users need to take charge of their own security too. And that brings us back to digital literacy. We need to start teaching people about online safety when they're young, just like other important life skills.
I like that. Digital literacy as a life skill. It's not just about using technology. It's about using it safely and responsibly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's not just about individuals. We need a cultural shift in organizations too, including ISPs. Cybersecurity have to be a top priority, not something you think about later. This means investing in employee training, having clear security rules, and creating a culture of security awareness in the whole organization.
Sounds like a big change in how we think about cybersecurity. It's not just about building stronger walls. It's about changing how we think, how we act, our whole culture.
Exactly. It's a journey, not a destination. And it's going to take everyone working together, individuals, governments, private companies, including ISPs. But this APAMIT, free data breach, as bad as it is, could be what finally makes this change happen.
It reminds us that in this connected world, security is everyone's job. So we've covered a lot, from the technical details of zero trust and encryption to the bigger issues of digital literacy and changing our culture. But there's one more piece: the future of ISP security. What trends will we see in the next few years? And what can users expect as the threats keep changing?
That's a great question, and it deserves its own deep dive. Let's start with how artificial intelligence and machine learning are going to change everything, how we detect and respond to cyber threats.
We've talked about how ISPs need to get better at security, but technology alone isn't enough. You mentioned AI and machine learning. How can they help with cybersecurity?
Well, AI and machine learning, they're going to change how we detect and respond to cyber threats. Like traditional security systems, they rely on these set rules to identify malicious activity.
Mm-hmm.
But hackers are always finding ways around those rules. AI, though, it can analyze tons of data, see patterns, and learn from experience. So it can detect new threats, stuff that traditional systems would miss.
So AI is like a super smart security guard. It knows the usual bad guys, but it can also spot suspicious behavior and learn from everything it sees. It's constantly adapting and getting better at detection.
Exactly. Imagine an AI system analyzing network traffic live, picking up on anything weird. That might mean a hacking attempt. Even if it's a totally new attack, that's where machine learning comes in. The system learns from each incident, gets more accurate over time.
That's amazing. Sounds like science fiction, but it's real. Are there any real examples of AI being used in cybersecurity?
Oh yeah, definitely. Lots of cybersecurity companies are using AI and machine learning in their products and services.
Yeah.
For example, some companies are using AI to analyze how users behave, looking for unusual patterns. That might mean someone's taken over an account or there's a malware infection. Others are using machine learning to find phishing emails by looking at the language and structure of the message.
AI and machine learning, they sound like they're becoming really important tools in the fight against cybercrime. But what about the ethical side of things? Are there any concerns about using AI in this area?
There are always ethical things to think about with new tech, especially in cybersecurity. One concern is bias. If AI systems are trained on biased data, they could make biased decisions. For example, say an AI system is trained on data that mostly shows attacks from a certain country or group of people, it might be more likely to flag activity from that group as suspicious, even if it's totally fine.
So we need to make sure that the data used to train AI systems is diverse and representative. To avoid that kind of bias, what other ethical considerations are there?
Another thing is transparency. We need to understand how AI makes decisions, especially when those decisions could have big consequences. Like if an AI system thinks an account is suspicious and locks the user out, we need to know why it did that. This transparency is important for building trust and making sure someone's accountable.
That makes sense. We need to make sure AI is used responsibly and ethically in cybersecurity. But overall, it seems like AI and machine learning could really improve how we protect ourselves online.
Absolutely. They're powerful tools to help us stay ahead of the bad guys. But technology is only part of the answer. We also need to focus on the human side, digital literacy and security awareness.
It feels like we're entering a new era of cybersecurity, one that needs a more holistic and collaborative approach. What advice would you give our listeners, individuals and organizations, as they try to navigate this increasingly complex digital world?
My advice is pretty simple. Stay informed, stay vigilant, stay ahead of the curve. Keep up with the latest cybersecurity news. Use best practices, like strong passwords and two-factor authentication. And be careful with suspicious emails and websites. If something seems too good to be true, it probably is.
Good advice. Reminds us that in this interconnected world, we're all responsible for security. We all have a role to play in protecting ourselves and each other online.
Exactly. We need to work together to make the online world safer and more secure for everyone.
Well, that about wraps up our deep dive into the free data breach and what it means for the future of internet security. It's been a fascinating conversation. Thanks so much for sharing your expertise.
It was my pleasure. And remember, knowledge is power. The more we understand about the digital world, the better we can navigate it safely and securely.